You know, in today's world, it seems the best treatment is reserved only for a few. Well, Discover wants to change that by making everyone feel special. That's why with your Discover card, you have access to 24/7 live customer service as well as $0 fraud liability, which means you're never held responsible for unauthorized purchases. Finally, no matter who you are or where you are in life, you'll feel special with Discover. Learn more at discover.com/creditcard. Limitations apply.
Hello, everyone. Happy holidays.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
It's the holiday. Everybody get a gift. New jewels, new cars, and some new outfits.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
The top JUCO signing in the United States of America, Deion Smith, showed up to his signing at Ole Miss in a Lamborghini. Good for him.
It's the holiday.
Earlier on the show, actors and comedians Anthony Anderson and Cedric the Entertainer. Coming up, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Anthony Anderson and Cedric the Entertainer were in studio, hour number one, and it was so funny. My sides are truly still hurting, and that is not an exaggeration. If you missed it, stay tuned right here on the Roku channel. We re-air as soon as this hour is over, and then we're going to nonstop re-air for quite some time. As this is our last show, live show of the calendar year, TJ Jefferson is already, if you will, jumped ship. Now that he's gone, I will castigate him for leaving early.
Man, geez. And we're still here.
No, he's got to catch a flight home.
Yeah, his flight's so, very soon,
so he is already off on his holiday break. I am hopping a plane to Denver as soon as this is over. I'm calling the Patriots and the Broncos on Sunday night.
Nice.
And that'll be great. That'll Patriots be great. And Broncos to wrap up the Week 16 Sunday. There's a triple header on Monday night as well. Chris Brockman and Jay Fellier in their spots. We're going to get Tom Pelissero joining us in a matter of moments. And this is a big fantasy weekend. This just in. We're already in a hole in our fantasy footballers final. We were dominant in the regular season.
Let me pull this
But we're going against Jason Kleiman of
our buddy
from NFL Network.
Yep.
He had both Stafford and Nacua going against us last
really?
Night. And we had Kamara, and he didn't
did nothing.
He did not do very much.
Yeah.
And so there's a big weekend, and many people didn't make it or got crushed in their last week.
Yeah, that was me.
And one of those people, for you, you're one of these people, is because you went ahead and chose rookie running back Bijan Robinson in the first round.
Yep.
And you took the approach of, I'm going to take him because I love him and I think he's going to have a huge year. It doesn't matter if I'm reaching for him. I know I'm not going to get him when it comes back to me in the second round. So even though I might be going 4 or 5 picks early for him,
doesn't matter.
I'm going to go get him. Which is an interesting approach. And then you, instead of you took him instead of who'd you?
No big deal. Just Christian McCaffrey.
Got it. Okay, yeah. So you made that choice.
Yeah.
And so, in terms of his first year in professional football, from the fantasy point of view, a four-letter word was Arthur Smith for you, because the head coach who is calling the plays in Atlanta would frequently remove Bijan from a game and put in Tyler Algier. And then when Cordarrelle Patterson came back in, they would be sharing time. And you would think by now, week 16, it would have been, this is Bijan's show, and we're going to run him 20, he's going to get 20, 25 touches, and Absolutely. We're going to run everything through him. Similar to what you're seeing from the Bills and James Cook, or what we've seen for McCaffrey and things of that nature. And that never materialized. But the reason why I'm bringing all of this up now is the one time where this was crystallized more than any other time is when in week 7, the Atlanta Falcons had Bijan and he was on the sideline and he hardly went in except for one touch. And we found out the reason why he basically had one cup of coffee that day is because he had a migraine of some sort?
Something like that.
And they didn't deactivate him. They activated him and he was there. And on the sideline, and the reason why after the game is he had an illness. Something was going on.
That we found out after the fact.
And a lot of folks were like, so if you knew before the game something was up with him, how come you didn't let everyone know about it? As you're supposed to, I guess, with the injury report. Well, the NFL had conducted an investigation, and today they fined the Falcons $75,000 and Arthur Smith $25,000.
Oh, interesting.
Because of it. He wasn't feeling well, but he wasn't on the injury report. The league looked into the matter and is now popped the team and the coach.
So does that mean I can go back to my week 7 roster and then put somebody in his place and that could have potentially affected the rest of my fantasy season?
Nope.
Oh.
You may not do that.
Bummer.
That is not what you can do. So that's something to, and again, you know, obviously we live in a fantasy football world.
Of course.
But this is a real world where Arthur Smith may be coaching for his job.
Yep.
And the Falcons did, despite all that, win the game against Tampa, which is why he still has a shot to win this division. As Atlanta has 3 games remaining, Indianapolis, at Chicago, and at New Orleans. And he's still in this mix. And the NFC South is completely wide open. Certainly if Tampa Bay loses at home to Jacksonville, and Tampa Bay finishes up against New Orleans at home and at Carolina.
Yeah,
and ask Arthur Smith if that's a gimme at Carolina.
Nope. I think Trevor Lawrence is practicing today, so.
Well, he's practicing, but still not out of the concussion protocol.
Correct.
We shall see. And we'll see. I mean, I don't know if Arthur Smith just might be like, all right, every torpedo be damned. Bijan, get ready. You're going to touch it 25 to 30 times over the last 3. Like, give him 90 touches over the last 3 weeks. I don't know. Or if that's not really the answer. We don't know what's going on behind the scenes, and we have zero concept. But Arthur Blank does, and he did not give a full-throated support to Arthur Smith going into the final 3 games of this season. And one last thing, too. Everyone should know this. Arthur Smith, and I know I'm sure he doesn't really appreciate it always being brought up, but he is one of the heirs to the Smith family that of the FedEx empire.
Yep.
He does not have to be doing this. He could be literally living in the Maldives, doing whatever he wants to do in whatever house he so chooses. And the fact that he chooses the life of an NFL head coach is a window into his acumen and his hard work. But I don't understand. And he's smart enough to know. Maybe he'll just say, screw it. Everybody wants to see Bijan. All right, kid, it's on you. And maybe he does see it through. They got to win games.
But he is so smart, and living with a Falcons fan, I know this. A lot of people think that he's too smart and tries to get too cute in the red zone and down by the goal line, and that has led to some of these Ritter turnovers and inefficiencies getting points. Instead, they come up empty-handed.
Seth in Richmond, Virginia. You're here on the Rich Eisen Show. Been hanging on for an hour and a half. What's up, Seth?
What's going on, Rich?
What's going on in your mind?
Nothing much. But wanted to get into the Saints, but before that, just wanted to touch on Mike Trout to the Phillies. If that ever happened, my God, I grew up a Phillies fan in South Jersey, next town over from Mike Trout. You know, my sister's boyfriend used to play him in high school, so that would be a dream come true.
Yeah, buddy.
But I got a lot to say about the Saints, and I know your time is precious, so I'll let you decide if you want to hear about quarterbacks or coach.
I have something to say about some of the decision-making last night, so you choose whatever you wish, Seth.
All right, then let's get into the coach, because Mr. Dennis Allen, he got to pretty much handpick the quarterback that he wanted, and it was the same guy that they had failed once before. I don't think in my time watching football I've ever seen a quarterback and a head coach reunite after several years and still be awful. Dennis Allen, I just don't know. You know, we talk about Brandon Staley and his fourth down decisions, and then you got 2 fourth downs in the first half of a game where you just turn the ball over right there in the middle of the field, and you're supposed to be our old defensive coordinator. You're giving up 30 points a game now. Our defense is gassed because our offense couldn't catch up. Pete Carmichael should have been gone a long time ago. I'm just at my wit's end right now with New Orleans. You know, I'm praying that this is it with Dennis, and that next year we might luck out. Maybe Pittsburgh lets Tomlin walk. Maybe Harbaugh wants to come down to the bayou. I don't know.
Well,
I hear you, Seth,
and, you know, it'll be interesting to see what the Saints do, and I appreciate the call. Have a good holiday and a happy new year. They got two games to go. Their only way in, after losing to the Rams, who are sitting there in the seventh seed right now, their only way in is winning the division. They're lucky, because usually 7 and 8 teams don't have a path to winning the division. But the New Orleans Saints have a big game next up at Tampa. And you take a look at the Saints' schedule, if we can, after this. Because the Buccaneers have a game against Jacksonville this very week. So it's entirely possible that they are all tied. The problem is that Tampa has Baker freaking Mayfield, who came into, you know, their house and beat them in week 4. So they lose next week, it's over. Period, end of story. 7 and 9, 8 and 9 is not making the playoffs in the wild card, and then you would lose to Tampa for a second time. That would be all she wrote. And last night, the Saints had a winnable game. I mean, they showed Shohei Ohtani on the Oculus. Everyone's going nuts. Matthew Stafford comes out, balls out, touchdown to Nacua on 4th and 2. The Rams go up. Whose house? The whole thing was happening. The Saints defense did stiffen up inside the 5-yard line the next time, and the Rams settled for a field goal and up top to Rashid Shaheed, and all of a sudden, here we go.
10-7, hey.
Right.
Yeah.
And that was the score, with the Saints having the ball with a minute 41 left in the half, and the Rams getting the ball first in the second half. And this is where the game changed, because the Saints have a 1st and 10 on the Rams 47 with a minute 23 to go after Chris Olave, who had a very nice game, had an 18-yard drive starter. And 2 plays later, Carr has Olave on 3rd down right over the middle, and they couldn't connect. He was wide open. He could have run for days. So that brought up 4th and 5 at the Rams 42 with 56 seconds to go. And I thought to myself, well, that's the way that one went. You had a shot here. I thought on 3rd down they should have run it. Now, this is an easy second guess. They should have run it. So at that point in time, you at least force the Rams to use one of their timeouts.
Right.
And you might get a more manageable 4th down. Or who knows, you could get a 1st down because they're not expecting a run. I don't know. You know, I know they have 99 there. So run away from them if you want mine. My X's and O's. What do you think?
Good advice.
I'm an all-22 guy.
Good advice. C99, go the other way.
Run away. Run away. So I thought, now you're punting. So at least with the Rams having all 3 timeouts left, you try and pin them, or at least have them start on their own 20, for crying out loud. Yep. They went for it. They went for it and turned the ball over on downs and gave the ball back to the Rams on their own 42 with all 3 timeouts left.
Yeah.
I'm not sitting here saying, at least try for your 60-yard field goal. No, I'm not saying that. Just punt and say, let's play defense. Let's go to the locker room 10-7 and come up with a game plan for the second half and go to work. And instead, of course, the Rams scored a touchdown. And of course, the end of the half happens. And of course, the Rams had a field goal on the next drive. And then Carr throws an untimely interception that leads to a Rams touchdown. Boat races on. And even though the Saints had a comeback, it wasn't enough.
Yeah, it was garbage time.
Except the Saints did score twice, got the 2-point conversion, and I thought we had a game. Coop Tawney, sitting next to me, says, it's a game again, Dad, because damn straight it was.
What, like 4 minutes left?
30-22. This is, honestly, 30-22 with 3:53 to go.
Yeah.
And the Saints are out of timeouts. So play defense.
Get a stop.
You got a 2-minute warning on the back end here. You get one stop, and then you can get the ball in decent field position and go to work.
Exactly.
They went onside kick. I couldn't believe it. I turned to all my Rams friends that were right around me. I'm like, they did you a favor. You know why? Because in this day and age, with the onside kick and how you're not allowed to get a running start, you got to have a certain number of people on either side.
It's impossible to recover.
Going into that decision this year, onside kicks prior to that had been tried 30 times. You know how many times it worked?
Probably 0.
One. 1 for 30. So you're going to take a 1 for 30 chance instead of sticking your defense out there and all the momentum and saying, hey, Cam Jordan, go do it. I couldn't believe they went onside, because now all you're doing is one first down. It's Rap. Over, because at least they're going to kick a field goal, potentially. I couldn't believe the decision-making. And I don't mean to go all in here on it, but I think I'm giving a viewpoint to Saints fans right now. And if they don't make the playoffs and they do turn to their coach, this moment, like right here, they could have beaten the, they had the Rams in a position and they let them off the hook, to use the phrase. And I know our caller was making it sound like Derek Carr was the wrong choice at quarterback. Honestly, at the time, I thought it was a terrific choice. I understand it hasn't worked out, but what were they weren't going for Lamar.
They didn't have any other options, really.
Honestly,
run it back with Jameis. I don't know.
I honestly don't believe that this was the wrong choice. At one point, because I didn't think Rodgers was going to happen or the Jets would ever go for Lamar. Don't forget the Jets once had Derek Carr in the building. Remember that? And told him he'd be a Hall of Famer if he signed with them.
That's right.
Maybe he signed with the Saints. But I didn't think that move sealed their fate.
Derek Carr's not going anywhere, Rich. I mean, Saints fans may not want to hear this, but he will be your quarterback next year.
He threw dimes to get him in the mix.
And most likely in 2025, he has a lot of guaranteed money left. And unless he asks for a trade,
right. He
is going to be the Saints quarterback next year.
All right. Well, our director, Don Bowie, is a diehard Saints fan. Take Chris Brockman right now if you want Derek Carr to stay. He just went back to me. Come on, man. He took his son to this game last night.
Derek Carr had 33 fantasy points last night.
It's not a fantasy world, bud.
Sorry. I have Derek Carr.
If it was, you could go back in time and choose Christian McCaffrey instead of Bijan.
What was I thinking?
All right, we will take a break and more of your phone calls before you get out of Dodge. Tom Pelissero, when we come back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. So we'll ask him about who's in, who's out, who's injured, who isn't, and then obviously what's going on with the Falcons being fined and any coaches on hot seats. Don't go anywhere.
With Sotyktu for moderate to severe plaque psoriasis, you could show off your skin again. And you know what that means?
Beach day!
As a TYK2 inhibitor, Sotyktu is the only once-daily pill of its kind for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. Ask your dermatologist about Sotyktu today and learn more at SoClearlyYou.com. That's SoClearlyYou.com. Sotyktu, deucravacitinib, is a prescription treatment for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis who may benefit from systemic therapy or phototherapy. Don't take if you're allergic to Sotyktu. Serious reactions can occur. Before treatment, get checked for infections, including tuberculosis. Sotyktu can lower your ability to fight infections. Don't start if you have one. Serious infections, cancers including lymphoma, muscle problems, and changes in certain labs have occurred. Tell your doctor if you have a history of these events, or if you have an infection or symptoms like fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you have history of hepatitis B or C, liver or kidney problems, high triglycerides, or had a vaccine or plan to. Sotyktu inhibits TYK2, which is part of the JAK family. People 50 and older with heart disease risk factors who use a JAK inhibitor are at increased risk for certain side effects, sometimes fatal. It's unknown if Sotyktu has the same risks as JAK inhibitors. Call 1-888-SOTYKTU to learn more.
Hi, I'm Kelsey Grammer. Wounded Warrior Project supports injured veterans by connecting them with fellow warriors, by serving them through mental health and wellness programs, and by empowering them to live on their own terms. No one should face a battle alone. Join us at WoundedWarriorProject.org.
You know, in today's world, it seems the best treatment is reserved only for a few. Well, Discover wants to change that by making everyone feel special. That's why with your Discover card, you have access to 24/7 live customer service as well as $0 fraud liability, which means you're never held responsible for unauthorized purchases. Finally, no matter who you are or where you are in life, you'll feel special with Discover. Learn more at discover.com/creditcard. Limitations apply. I'm on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network with the Roku Channel live stream. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. As our friend Tom Pelissero and his usual Friday spot, NFL Network insider. Good to see you, Tom. How are you, sir?
Good to see you, Rich. What's up to the fellas in the studios? Here's new voices over there today. How's everybody doing?
Tom, Jay Felly's here.
So if just, for, again, because I pay attention to these things, when you had trouble zooming in a couple weeks ago, you chose a different spot in your house that had the golden Minnesota light on you. Are you back in that place? Is this your new place?
No, I think this is, I don't know how Zoom works. And so I hit a bunch of buttons and eventually it looked like something out of an Austin Powers film. This is, I think, the genuine article is how we actually look like in here.
Okay. Just, by the way, I think this works. I mean, we see footballs. I see your beautiful family behind there. Look at that setup.
Absolutely.
This is very nice. Very nice. I feel like
I feel like the room raider right now.
We need a show.
None of that stuff's mine. Other than the starting lineup guys, everything else was curated for me.
Who are the starting lineup guys? Who are they?
So those are my originals from childhood. Like, we're coming up on Christmas here. I got Eric Dickerson. I vividly remember it in a stocking Christmas morning. Also got Warren Moons up there.
Nice.
Phil Sims, Jim Everett, Darren Nelson, because you can tell I grew up in Minnesota, and the Boz. That's my my favorite one.
Fantastic.
He's got, hold on. Let me grab it here.
Go for it. There you go. Tom Pelissero is going to go grab the Boz. I want to see this. Let me see.
So the best part, the starting lineup guys, we did the second generation. You could remove the helmet, and he's actually got the haircut.
Wow.
Look at that.
Yes.
Very nice.
That is some extreme detail right there.
Wow. It's great. It's kind of funny, Tom. I had to explain to my 12-year-old son watching the Fansville commercial that the sheriff is named Brian Bosworth, and his presence in these commercials is a neat little Easter egg for people my age. I had to tell him that, who the Boz is and everything like that.
There was nobody cooler when you were 9 years old, like the dude with the shaved stuff in the sides. He wore the Oakleys. He's given out Ban the Boz shirts, and then he got run over by Bo Jackson. And then here we are.
Tom Pelissero, always with facts right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay, so AFC South quarterbacks, who are we seeing this weekend? What do you got for me right now?
There's certainly a lot going on right now. Trevor Lawrence was on the practice field today, which is a good sign, because then if he can upgrade from a limited capacity to a full capacity on Saturday, there's at least a chance that he could end up playing on Sunday. Again, you got to make big decisions on this too, in terms of, do you want to put him out there even if he gets medically cleared? Most coaches would say once the independent urologist signs off, you're going to have him on the field. But there's a lot of different things that go into this in terms of how your brain and your body react to making their way through the protocol. Same thing with CJ Stroud. He's going on 2 weeks of this here, so no expectation that we see him on the field, although D'Amico Ryans yesterday kind of laughed off a question about whether we see Stroud again this season. Does not sound like they're concerned about a long-term issue. And then he got Will Levis, who was on the practice field today. I think we've seen Mike Vrabel do this a number of times, having somebody at least out there to take a couple of reps in order to create the appearance that perhaps the player could go. But considering the fact that this was an injury that the broadcast crew would not even show a replay of during the day, the fact that it's a sprained ankle and he's practicing at least in some capacity 5 days later would give you a decent degree of confidence that a player who, let's be honest, he quite possibly could be the quarterback of the future in Tennessee, that even if he doesn't play this week, should get back this season.
Do we see Tyreek Hill against the Cowboys? What do you think?
Everything sounds like it's trending in a positive direction right now for Tyreek Hill. He's been back on the practice field the past couple of days. There was a chance that he was going to go last week. He went through that pregame workout, just wasn't doing a lot side to side at that point. So certainly sounds like, barring a setback, you'll see Tyreek this week. Doesn't help fantasy owners like me who lost last week, plugging in Rashid Shaheed for Tyreek at the last second. But hey, for those people in the playoffs, Tyreek, it seems like he's ready to help you out.
Okay, I see what you're saying right there. And Jamar Chase, how long do you think he's out, Tom?
They're hoping that it's not a lot more beyond this game. They knew pretty early on, once he underwent the testing, that he was not going to be able to be out there this week. You're getting down to that point in the season too, Rich, where an injury that maybe if this were week three, week four, week five, you're saying, okay, he's going to miss 2-3 games. Now that you're down to the end here, as long as somebody is medically cleared, in other words, the doctors say it's okay for you to play, you do have a little bit more license as the player to say, I want to be out there. For the team to be perhaps more open to, I don't want to say taking chances, because I don't think that you're taking chances medically, but if you're you get the sign off that you're able to be out there. It would not surprise me at all if you see Chase continue to push and he's back out there before the regular season.
So why are teams releasing players right now? Like I just saw Sebastian Joseph Day is now on the market. I mean, why, what's the point of it? It's not like cap ramifications, is it? I mean, how do these things work? Cause I mean, that's a guy who can show up on a playoff team tomorrow and make a difference. Tom?
No question. There's a couple of different reasons the teams release players after the trade deadline. One being if you are trying to get some money back, because if a player, let's say, has several million dollars still guaranteed for the rest of the season, another team, if they claim off waivers, they pick up the whole contract. If he clears waivers, then you sign him. You at least get out from under however many hundreds of thousands of dollars would be on the minimum salary. The other part of it, and I don't know which of these is the case with Sebastian Joseph Day as of now, but there's other times where it's a player's like, listen, we're eliminated from the playoffs. I'm probably not going to be around here next year either. I want to go and play for a different team. You know, the Chargers are, you know, going into their first game with a new head coach with Giff Smith taking over. Obviously, JoJo Wooden's been making moves as the interim GM. You're down toward the end of this thing. They're just trying to find ways to put it together. Surely an interesting move because, you know, along with Justin Houston, Jason Pierre-Paul, Zach Ertz, you got some name players that are out there right now, and they're all trying to figure out. One thing too, Rich, you have to remember, even though you have offsets in your regular season money, the player does a deal for the playoffs. There are no offsets there. So for guys who are still making money right now, your real your opportunity to cash in is once you get to playoff time and you get your playoff shares in full.
NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero here on the Rich Eisen Show. What are you hearing from people as the most attractive job that will be open? And it can include already that something that is. What are you hearing right now?
This is a fascinating thing here, Rich, because you've obviously got three jobs open right now between the Chargers and the Raiders and Carolina that's been open. Each of those, I think, has both their positives and negatives. You know, I think that a lot of people believe externally the Chargers job is the best one out there. But just in talking to people realistically about that team, where they are and the roster, there's going to be some hard decisions that the next regime is going to have to make. I mean, do you trade one of those wide receivers? Austin Eckler is probably leaving in free agency. You've got a lot of older, expensive players on defense. Even a guy like Joey Bosa, who's making a lot of money, hasn't played a lot in 2 years because of injuries. Do you potentially look to trade him? And those are all broader conversations that, you know, in the past, the Chargers have not liked to do that in terms of moving on from some of their marquee, their star players, so to speak. But a new GM coming in is going to say, listen, if we're going to kind of remake this thing, this is the opportunity to potentially move on from some of those big salaries, clear cap space, clear cash moving forward and rebuild this thing. You don't want to say entirely from the ground up because you got a quarterback in Justin Herbert. But in other words, this is not a plug and play. The next coach comes in. Let's go win the Super Bowl right now. You could find somebody if that's what you want to hear to tell you that. But realistically, if you're looking at this roster right now, there's certainly a good case to be made that you need to start over a little bit. In Las Vegas with the Raiders, you know, that's obviously a unique opportunity. I believe, and based on conversations, I think that job is better than what people externally tend to think. Mark Davis is a unique guy, but all he really wants to do is win. He wants to figure that out and get the right people in place. He's taken a couple of big swings with John Gruden and Josh McDaniels for completely different reasons. Neither of those worked out. You're going to have to figure out the quarterback position. You got Jimmy Garoppolo, who's still guaranteed money into 2024, so you have to do something there. Is Aiden O'Connell the guy? You know, what do you do with Davante Adams? Again, you can make the case that right now, if you can still get substantial capital, maybe a first-round pick for Davante Adams, where you are programmatically, you know, maybe you should move on. Carolina, you got to be buying in on Bryce Young, and you got to be buying in on David Tepper. And I think that's another one that's a better job than people externally might think if you're a believer in the starting quarterback. There's obviously other jobs that potentially could open here. Washington is one that's been in focus. I would say this, Rich, one of the really interesting things is that after 20 plus years of everybody making jokes about why would anyone go to Washington, you're going to get fired, you got to deal with the owner, all of a sudden people are really intrigued by Washington. They've got a lot of draft capital because they trade away those pass rushers before the deadline. They've got enough flexibility financially. You got a guy in Sam Howell, a quarterback who maybe you can build with him, but you're also not over-leveraged into that position. He was a fifth-round pick a couple of years ago. You're not spending any money at the position, so you could draft one and keep Howell for the short term. And you've got Josh Harris there who is going to try to build this thing the right way. So in the end, Rich, you know, we'll see what jobs end up opening up. But I would not be surprised at all if Washington is one of, if not the most attractive jobs in the cycle.
Well, if you don't mind, I'm going to use this real estate with you, Tom, to help me prepare for Sunday night's broadcast on our network with the Patriots taking on the Broncos. And what should I know about Belichick and Kraft and the way this is playing out over the final 3 weeks of this regular season, Tom?
Here's what I would fairly tell you, Rich, about where things stand in New England. There is no firm decision. There is no firm plan. There is a lot of different things that could play out here in the coming weeks, and this may well extend deep into January, if not February, before it gets sorted out. So let's go through, you know, the various things that could take place here. Obviously, Bill Belichick could get fired. I'm not anticipating that that's how this is going to be framed at minimum, and I don't envision that's how it's going to play out. You could work out a trade for Bill Belichick. You, obviously, last year, you've got the precedent of Sean Payton, the way that Mickey Loomis handled that, which was, here's the price. If you're willing to pay this in terms of draft picks, go talk to whoever you want. Go find that. Go find the contract. Come back to me. This is the price. This is what we're moving you for. Bill Belichick is, you know, he's in his 70s. He's quite possibly the greatest coach who's ever lived. But in terms of it being a long-term type of a build, it's probably not a fit. So where does Bill Belichick potentially fit in terms of head coaching vacancies? I do think that there's something to be said. I don't know that this is going to be what takes place by any stretch, but there's something to be said for a team like the Chargers that has a quarterback, that has a veteran team, that maybe is not quite as far away as if, say, you went to, you know, I mean, pick another team here. He's not going to the Raiders, but let's say the Raiders, where realistically there's probably a lot more surgery that needs to take place and it's a longer term build. So a trade is possible, but what are people willing to give up? On what timeline would you do that? And there is certainly also a possibility, and I would fairly tell you, Rich, this is a possibility that you could retain Bill Belichick in New England for 2024, potentially with some changes organizationally, changes with the coaching staff. They're not going to come back with the exact same staff, the exact same structure, everything the same, and run it back in 2024. I think that that's fair to say that there's, you know, a lot of frustration there for everybody involved. You look back in recent years here, and it seemed like you've had at various times different plans for what New England wants to do. It was, okay, Josh McDaniels almost took the Indy job in 2018. We bring him back. Okay, this guy's going to be the quarterback of the future or the coach of the future. Well, no, a couple years later, he ends up moving on. Bill Belichick's still there. He goes to Vegas. Now it's been looked at in a lot of corners as Gerard Mayo is the next head coach of the Patriots, and quite possibly he will. Mayo at this point, well respected in terms of the guy he is. He obviously had a really good playing career there, has not coached that long. Bill Belichick runs every aspect of that football operation. So are you going to take 35-year-old Gerard Mayo and drop him in and say, you're running the entire thing? Is he ready for the magnitude of that? Is he ready to be a head coach? Those are all questions that they need to ask here. And if the answers are, we don't have the successor in the building right now for 2024, then potentially your best option is try to adjust some things, make roster changes, coaching staff changes, maybe front office changes, and keep Bill Belichick in place. It's not, now, again, Bill Belichick has a lot of control over everything, again, including personnel. There are certain things he may not be comfortable with. And there's on a certain level, when you've got Robert Kraft putting out a statement about Gerard Mayo coming back, when you have fingerprints on like the Bill O'Brien offensive coordinator move that appears to be a Robert Kraft-driven move, how does Belichick feel about his ability at this point to thrive and run the program the way that he wants to in New England? All of which is to say, Rich, you've already had various reports about this has been decided, this is done, he's gone. I would tell you this, and there's a lot of moving parts here. I do not believe, based on every bit of information I have, that there is a final decision. I do not believe that there is a singular plan that they're driving for. These are conversations that Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft have not yet had, and that Robert Kraft, Jonathan Kraft, and others are trying to figure out what the best way is to navigate these waters going forward.
Yeah, and I think you said the most important thing is, what does Bill think? You know what I mean? Like, his thoughts on what he wants out of this, I think, will play a large role in it. regardless maybe of the how the last three games go. Certainly if they wind up maybe with the first overall pick. I mean, like, that is entirely out there as a wrinkle, if you will. And then, you know, there's the Steelers also. I just saw them. And Tomlin, to me, looked as engaged and as into the gig as ever. You know, and T.J. Watt was telling me, this guy doesn't change, and I will run through a wall for him. And then you see the results are very un-Tomlin-like, you know, with George Pickens basically saying, I don't want to turn into Tank Dell. And he's going to go back out there again because these are the best players the Steelers have. And the sense I get from Steelers fans is many of them want to try something else. What do you think is happening there before I let you go?
I would argue the George Pickens thing is the most Mike Tomlin type thing that's occurred, simply because in terms of wide receivers with various levels of attitude issues for a team that's had Antonio Brown and Martavis Bryant and Chase Claypool, this is kind of what Mike Tomlin does, which is, and it's organizational philosophy, wide receiver, those guys a lot of times are different cats. So you take the guy who other teams might be downgrading because of various character quirks that they have or different issues, and you say, this guy's really talented. We can plug him in. We can get the most out of him. And at the point that that goes to a different direction and we no longer can get the most out of him, then we move on and we trade Claypool for a two. We trade Martavis Bryant for, I wanted to say, John Gruden gave up a three for him once upon a time. There's different ways you can, and obviously Antonio Brown was also traded out there to the Raiders at one point. So in terms of Mike Tomlin and the Steelers, I know that there's speculation when they're going through a rough patch, and it feels like we have one of these, Rich, every year where the Steelers go through a rough patch and is what's going to happen with Mike Tomlin? Is he going to move on? What I would tell you that I know is Tomlin's got 1 year left on his contract. Historically, the Steelers have redone coach contracts with 2 years to go. So that was a little bit unusual that they did not extend him. However, from everything I have been told, that's not an indication that they don't view Mike Tomlin as a long-term part of the plan. I believe, and again, we're sitting here December 22nd. There's plenty of time for different things to play out. But I believe the only way Mike Tomlin would not return as the head coach of the Steelers would be if Mike Tomlin decides there's someplace else that he wants to go, and he initiates that conversation with Art Rooney. If that were to take place, if Mike Tomlin were to one way or another become available here, I do believe that there would be a trade market. I do believe that there potentially would even be some teams that have current head coaches in place that would be willing to move on from their head coaches to bring Mike Tomlin in. But again, we're so far away from that. It would be unlike the Steelers to trade a head coach or to move on. They obviously, I think it's well documented, Rich, that they rarely move on from their head coaches. And you have to ask yourself, from Tomlin's perspective, he's well paid at this point in Pittsburgh. He has a tremendous amount of authority over every aspect of the football operation there. Is there someplace else that he feels like he could go and have as good or better of a situation? Or on some level, there's not a lot of coaches who last 17 years in one building. Does everybody at some point say it's just time to move on? Again, I believe that's a conversation Mike Tomlin would need to initiate. And at this point, there's no signs inward or outward that conversation has or will take place.
Tom, thanks for the time. Have a great Christmas holiday and a happy new year. And send my best to your family. And that also includes Brian Bosworth in that little toy that you have there. Thanks, Tom. Greatly appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks, Rich.
There you go. That's Tom Pelissero.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Love our chats with him.
Love it.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll take your calls to take us into the Christmas weekend. That's next. This is the Rich Eisen Show, everybody.
With Sotyktu for moderate to severe plaque psoriasis, you could show off your skin again. And you know what that means?
Beach day.
As a TYK2 inhibitor, Sotyktu is the only once-daily pill of its kind for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. Ask your dermatologist about Sotyktu today and learn more at SoClearlyYou.com. That's SoClearlyYou.com. Sotyktu, deucravacitinib, is a prescription treatment for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis who may benefit from systemic therapy or phototherapy. Don't take if you're allergic to Sotyktu. Serious reactions can occur. Before treatment, get checked for infections, including tuberculosis. Sotyktu can lower your ability to fight infections. Don't start if you have one. Serious infections, cancers including lymphoma, muscle problems, and changes in certain labs have occurred. Tell your doctor if you have a history of these events, or if you have an infection or symptoms like fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you have history of
hepatitis B or C, liver or kidney problems, high triglycerides, or had a vaccine or plan to. So TYK2 inhibits TYK2, which is part of the JAK family. People 50 and older with heart disease risk factors who use a JAK inhibitor are at increased risk for certain side effects, sometimes fatal. It's unknown if Sotyktu has the same risks as JAK inhibitors. Call 1-888-SOTYKTU to learn more.
I didn't ask to be thrown in the streets, but I did ask for help, and Covenant House was there for me.
For these kids who didn't ask to be put in this unthinkable situation, Covenant House is there. To learn more, go to safeplacetosleep.org today.
Let's talk Audible, people. Audible lets you enjoy all of your audio entertainment all in one app. Titles in every kind, in all categories. Wellness, bestsellers, and new releases, as well as podcasts and originals. And Audible members can keep one title a month from the entire catalog. You keep it. You'll always find the best of what you love or something new to discover. You know, I travel a lot, especially during football season. And right now, listening to player memoirs from Audible really helps me relax and pass the time on long flights. With the app, you can listen anywhere as it's all in one spot. Whether I'm on a transatlantic flight or on a long car ride with my family, I just put on an audiobook from Audible and boom. It's so easy to just listen. New members can try Audible now free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/Eisen or text Eisen to 500-500. That's audible.com/EISEN or text EISEN to 500-500 to try Audible free for 30 days.
Check out every single NFL game live on Westwood One for free, sponsored by AutoZone on a stream. It is live all season long, and it includes this weekend's major games. Just ask Alexa to open the Westwood One Sports or on your Westwood One affiliate station's digital platforms. You can listen, watch it live, stream it on the NFL app, and it's all free. Get in the zone with AutoZone. The free AutoZone Fix Finder service can help you find a fix for free. Get in the zone, AutoZone. Restrictions apply. Jimmy in San Antonio. How are you doing, Jimmy?
Jimmy.
Feliz Navidad y Prospero Año, mi hermanos.
What's going on?
Well, I don't need to soliloquize, but I do have an RES consulting idea. Two words, Rich. Hanukkah pinatas. I think it's huge.
Okay, thank you.
A lot of money.
Appreciate that.
All right. Here's my problem. Brockman, I need you to chime in. I have a conundrum.
Is there?
I have Purdy winning the MVP plus 700, and I put a hundo on that a couple of months ago.
Well done.
But for me to hit that, he probably has to beat my Cowboys, doesn't he?
No, he already has.
Oh, he already did.
So it's a regular season award.
Oh, yeah, no, you're good.
The awards get voted on 2 weeks from now, I think. So it's done.
Okay, so then if he wins, I will fly to Carl's Bar and buy a round for Terzo in the bar, because that would be a nice win.
That would be a way to do it.
Please do it. Send us a photo. Oh, we would love
that. That would be lovely.
He's
Jimmy.
A big favorite right now, so I think you're in good shape, Jimmy.
It would make him feel better since my Dodgers got Yamamoto.
My God, dude. It's unbelievable, Jimmy. It really is. The yachts get bigger.
Can you offer this to your son, Cooper? How about Koopamoto?
Koopamoto. Koopamoto and Kooptani. I don't know.
Kooptani?
I don't think he likes any variation of he likes his name the way
it
is.
Are you kidding? Are you telling me somebody doesn't like the nicknames you came up with?
Jimmy.
I am shocked.
Happy New Year,
big
brother.
Fan of the show.
Thanks again,
Jimmy,
pal.
Appreciate you,
I love
man.
That. That's great. I don't usually take somebody. What's with the question marks next to Cody?
Yeah, I don't know.
Where's Cody calling in from?
No idea. I was trying to ask.
Indianapolis, Cody. How you doing, Cody?
Good. How you doing, Rich?
What do you want to talk about?
First of all, I just want to say happy holidays to everybody. I hope you guys have a Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah.
Same to you, pal.
Like
same
that.
To you.
Mm-hmm. And then I just wanted to – I actually called in before the season, and I did the win-loss for the Indianapolis Colts this year.
What do we got?
And, well, I'm pretty dang close. I was pretty close.
Hold on a minute. I have it right here. I have it right here. Cody in Indianapolis, he's had 9-8. He had 9-8. You had them beating the Falcons, losing to the Raiders, and beating the Texans in the final few weeks. You also had them losing to the Steelers. You had them losing to the Bengals and the Titans. Listen, Cody, your team is really good, and I think they do make the playoffs right now. I really do. I think they could win out, personally.
I was going to say, my question was going to be, because the Jaguars, the Steel, and with all respect, they ain't him. So I was going to say, with a two-part question, who do you think wins the South? And do you think either of the other two teams that don't win the South make the playoffs?
I think the – wow, great question. I think the Browns make it. Thank you for the call. I think the Browns make it. Someone else from the AFC North makes it. No, how about this? I think the Bills make it. The Browns make it. And then, man, I think the Colts win the whole thing, and Jacksonville maybe gets in as the wild
card. One team from the West?
Well, the problem is that Jacksonville swept the Colts, so I think Jacksonville wins the division, and the Colts make it.
Yeah. That seems the most
I'll take that.
Likely.
By the way, the Colts and Texans might be the final game of the year. Winner and loser goes home, which is, as you know, what they're looking for.
Stroud is most likely out this week.
So let me say a couple things here before we go. As you know, tomorrow is Festivus. Mm. So in the vein of Festivus, I don't have a feat of strength right now, but I got a lot of problems with you people. In the front office of the New York Yankees. You have the Jack Curry tweet. By the way, bless Jack Curry. He was all over this thing with Yamamoto, and he works for Yes. So this tweet is going to only serve to enrage Yankee fans. He said, as the Yamamoto negotiations inched to a finale, they told teams he wanted $300 million. The Dodgers, Yankees, and Mets pushed to $300 million. Then the Dodgers and Mets elevated to $325. While the Yankees coveted the player, they felt $300 million was a generous final offer. Now they must pivot. Great. Pivot to who? Who are we pivoting to? You know who's pivoting? By pivoting and pivoting and pivoting, rolling over in his grave is George M. Steinbrenner III. I never thought in my life I would say, where is George Steinbrenner for the Yankees? I used to hate that guy when he was all over Mattingly and doing stupid stuff and needed to be suspended by the league by baseball in order for the Yankees to reset and get their dynasty going. Never thought I would ever say that, but here I am as a 54-year-old guy. What in the hell is $25 million to these people? Now, you could sit here and go 12 years is too much. I totally get it. It sounds like it's malpractice for a pitcher. But if you're letting the Dodgers and the Mets outbid you, the Yankees, the New York Yankees, $25 million's too much. $300 million's so generous, Yoshinobu. We think we're being generous. What do you think? Oh, he's now wearing a Dodger uniform.
Yeah.
Airing of grievance here. Run it. Pivoting to who are we pivoting? I cannot believe it that we are getting beat monetarily by other teams, including the Mets. That would have been longtime listener, first time caller meltdown in New York City. If the Mets, and that's going to happen because this guy, Steve Cohen, is taking his axe cap and he's spending it.
Yep.
I saw that tweet. I just got enraged. I'm sitting here every single day watching the Yankees day in, day out. You know, whatever money you get from my viewership, it's coming in. I'm not there to spend money to go to the games because I live out here in L.A. But I can't wait to take my kid to Yankee Stadium. And I hope the team will be good enough. But these are the wins. These are the battles the Yankees used to win hands down. And now they won't put their hands deeper in their pockets. I got a problem with you people, as Frank Costanza once said, as the father to the assistant. To the assistant general manager once said, I got a lot of problems with you people. And here's what I think.
Assistant to the traveling
manager. It's whatever a Festivus miracle. Yeah.
To the assistant traveling manager. Whatever the hell it is. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's how upset I am. Yeah. I can't even get my facts straight.
Hey, well, everything you just said, replace Yankees with Red Sox.
I hear you. Oh, I'm with you.
We're not even in it. Great tweet from my guy, Steve Peralt. Now that Yamamoto's off the board, the Red Sox can finally focus on not signing other big name free agents. Great job, guys.
You got a lot of problems. You got a lot of problems. Nothing. Happy Festivus to you.
Same to you.
We're going to be watching the Dodgers kill it.
Kill it. Just kill our team.
It's a Festivus miracle.
No, it's not.
No, it is not.
It is for me.
Enjoy your Dodgers, Felly. I also just want to spend the last minute here saying that this is our last show of the calendar year. We will be doing Overreaction Monday the next 2 weeks via Zoom because we're taking New Year's Day off as well. I'll be at the Rose Bowl.
I'll be there too, probably.
Next time you see me, I'll be either very happy or very disappointed. But what doesn't disappoint me is what this show was able to accomplish in the calendar year of 2023, where we went to our first Super Bowl with the Roku channel. We're planning to go on another, obviously, and for many more to come. And for all you folks out there who consume this show on the Roku channel, this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate, Sirius XM, Odyssey, more, our podcasts are doing very well. Overreaction Monday and What the Football with Susie and Amy. And we appreciate you taking in all the content that we churn up and give to you for your consumption. And we do not take it for granted, whether you call into this show or you take us in, and however you do. So we want to say to everybody out there, have a happy and safe holiday season and a safe new year. And check out our stream every now and then over the next couple of weeks. You might be chiming in on some breaking news, but other than that, we love you and we'll chat with you in 2024.
You loved Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now get to know her on Give Them Lala.
I don't know that I would call it respect that I have for Sandoval, but the world hated him. He still went out, performed shows with his head held high. He showed up to the reunion when we all were going after him. Like, he didn't skip a beat. The way he's handling it, if I were in his position, and I said it straight up to the entire audience, thousands of people, I would tell you all to and the room was dead.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.